Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The work of Jesus Christ while he lived on earth encompassed so many facets of the will of God. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. 1 Peter 3:18-19. There are a number of pertinent questions relating to this verse which deserve our attention. What prison did Peter have in mind? When did Christ preach to the spirits in prison? What spirits were in prison? Some of these questions can be answered by a careful reading of verse 20. Peter writes of Christ going and preaching to the spirits in prison, which were sometime disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was in preparation, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. 1 Peter 3:20. In the Spirit, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. The spirits in prison were those multiplied thousands of people who lived during the period immediately preceding the flood. They were in prison in the sense that they were living in the grossest sins and unable to deliver themselves from that prison. Peter does not mean that Christ himself appeared to Noah's generation. But Christ, in the person of Noah, preached to the wicked people who were destroyed by the flood. Guyon Woods wrote concerning these verses, "It should be noted that Peter does not declare that these who were the objects of his preaching were in a disembodied state and in prison when the preaching was done. Such was their condition when he wrote." I agree with these thoughts. The time of the preaching was immediately preceding the great flood. The people who needed the preaching were the wicked people who did continually what displeased God. They were the spirits which were disobedient when the ark was being prepared for the salvation of the human family. Peter mentions God's long-suffering. He could have simply wiped the wicked off the face of the earth. But instead, he raised up a preacher of righteousness to provide the antediluvians an opportunity to repent and to turn to him for the remission of sins. God's love for the wicked people kept him from destroying them until they had an opportunity to change. Please take note of the expression, "when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." The Apostle Peter did not specifically have the generation preceding the flood in mind when he wrote these words, but they always apply to God's attitude toward men. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. How grateful we ought to be for God's long-suffering, but we must not take advantage of it. We need to turn from our rebellion and disobedience to serve the true and living God. The men of Noah's day thought he had lost his mind. There never had been a flood. So how could he expect them to believe his word, even if he claimed to speak for God Almighty? Tragically, there are millions of people in our world who are skeptical about God's revelation through Jesus Christ. They neither acknowledge Jesus as God's spokesman, nor do they obey his word. They will not be destroyed by water, but by fire. God is giving men and women today opportunity after opportunity to hear his word, to believe it, and to obey it. Some do, and for that we are grateful, but multiplied millions do not. That is very sad for all who believe in God and want to see other human beings saved. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.